Now, what we need to do is open up to two different datim. We have to review what we know on Daf Lamed Amud Beis, but more important is on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. On Daf Lamed Amud Beis, which is about 10 lines up from the bottom, the Gemara establishes that according to Rav Chisda, when you steal something and then you eat what you steal and you chayv misa, then we're going to force you to not only get misa but also to pay for the damages because there's no be'idna. That means that you were already chayv for gneva before you ate, whether it's zar shachal truma, whether it's the case of chelev, and that's called shalo be'idna. The Gemara says, what would be a case of be'idna? And the Gemara says, if tochav lo chaveru b'toch beis habliya, which means that, let's say, Shimon picks up the chelev and he puts it down Reuven's throat. The Gemara says, mimonafshav, what exactly happened? Imotzi ladure, if he put it in a way that meaning Reuven could cough it up, then that's not considered a chiyuv misa. No, he hasn't yet swallowed it, so it didn't go down his belly, and therefore he's not chayav for zoros or for chelev. If, on the other hand, he had no possibility of regurgitating it, which means basically that Shimon put it all the way down his throat, then am I chayav? Why should I be chayav for anything? Rashi is going to identify that as onus. We'll get back to Rashi in a few minutes. So Gemara finally comes up with an answer, which is called matzi ladure, but al yideat chach. Now let's fast forward to Daf Lamed Aleph. So we're on the top of Daf Lamed Aleph Omer Aleph, and the Gemara has Gufa. Omer Rav Chisda, Moder Rav Nechunya ben Akonah, Begonev Chelbo Shechavar Chol Shu Chayov, Shekvar Nischayav Begnev Akonah Shiyovel Idei Iser Chelev. So even though Rav Nechunya ben Akonah applies Kimlei Deramine to Achiv Kares, hence he would apply it to the case of Chelev, but as far as knocking off the chiyuv mammon is concerned, we need simultaneity. And in fact, he's chayiv in the mammon, according to Rav Chisda, even before he incurs the chiyuv misa, the chiyuv kares for achilas chelev, because already when he lifted up the chelev and he had no intention of returning it to its owner, he incurs a chiyuv tashlume gneva. So he has to pay the mammon. Later on, when he eats it, That's a different story. That's already a chiyuv misa or chiyuv kares, but the chiyuv mammon was already set in stone, so to speak, before the chiyuv kares. So the Gemara says, Lema pliga de Rabbi Ovin. Is there a contradiction between Rav Chisda and Rabbi Ovin? Now, what's going to happen here, and this is fascinating, and it could have repercussions in other sugyas and shas, is that Rabbi Ovin is going to claim that this concept of simultaneity, in order to set up a be'idna for kimlei v'ravine, doesn't mean that both chiyuvim were incurred at the exact same second. You could have a chiyuv that spreads over a period of time. In other words, it takes you, let's say it'll take you 5 minutes from the time you start the Avera until you complete the Avera, and then you finally chayv. So you're not chayv until the end of this process. And what happens if in the middle of that 5 minute period you incur a chiyuv mammon? Let's say, so you did an Avera which will generate a chiyuv misa or a chiyuv kares, and that Avera will only be clinched at the end of 5 minutes. Let's say I'm just throwing out a number, right? And then at time, you know, somewhere within that 5 minute period of time, you stole something from someone or you damaged someone's property and you incurred a chiyuv mammon. Rabbi Ovin is going to apply a rule which is called litzorech. Litzorech means that if you started a process in order to complete the process, then we view, as far as Kimlei Rabine, the entire process as one long, continuous process. And we're going to apply Kimlei Rabine at any moment within that long process. So if at any moment within the 5 minutes, within the bookends, between when he started the action and when he completed it and then incurred a chiyuv misa, he also incurred a chiyuv for damages, then he's going to be potter from the damages. And that principle of Litzoreth, the Gemara is going to try to apply to Rav Chisda, right? Rav Chisda talks about someone who lifts up Chelev. Why is he lifting up the Chelev? He intends to what? To eat the Chelev. So then, isn't the lifting of the Chelev considered Litzoreth? So what's the case of Litzoreth of Rabbi Ovin? The Omer Rabbi Ovin, Hazorek Chetz. So we're talking on Shabbos, and we're talking about Meleches Zorek, which is either an Av or a Tolda of Meleches Hotzah, and he shoots it mitchilas arba l'sof arba. So there's something called Dalad Amos Bishus Arabim, and Kara Shirayim Behalichoso. So while the arrow is shooting through the air, it cuts through, you know, somebody has his laundry, you know, he has his very expensive cloak, you know, that's hanging on the laundry line. And, well, that's hard to imagine in Rosh Hashanah, but in any event, he shoots through and pierces through his shirayim. And guess what? He's not chayiv he's not chayiv for Shabbos, I should say, until the arrow lands where? Sof Dalet. And yet, Rabbi Ovin says, Potur. We're going to apply the principle of Kimle ben Ramine. Again, even though the Chiv Tashlumen really happens before the Chiv Misa, because the Chiv Tashlumen happened while the arrow was in flight, and the Chiv Misa is only incurred when the arrow lands 4 amos later. And here's the principle of Litzorech. What's the principle of Litzorech? Says Rabbi Ovin, Sha'akira Tzorech Hanochahi. Now, it's even though the Akira is not enough to be Machayev him, but it sets in motion a process which will culminate with Hanocha. And therefore, the entire process is viewed as one entity, and it's one continuous Chiv Misa. Again, I shouldn't call it a Chiv Misa, because he's not Chayev Misa until he gets to what? To the Hanocha. But the beginning of the process, which is called Akira, is Litzorech Hanocha. And therefore, the Gemara wants to apply this to Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda says he stole food.
Rav Chisda.
The Gemara is going to now try to apply Rabbi Ovin to Rav Chisda and show you the contradiction. That if we apply the principle of Rabbi Ovin to Rav Chisda, then we should come to the conclusion that there is Kim Levi the Ramine. Because what was Rav Chisda? Rav Chisda was talking about a case where he stole Chelev or he stole Truma and he ate it. And Rav Chisda says, well, there's no simultaneity here. Why not? Why not apply the principle of Litzorech? Hachinami, here too, in the case of Rav Chisda, where he stole Chelev and then he ate it. Hagbah, when he lifts up the Chelev, is Litzorech Achilah. That should be the first stage in the process of Achilah. In other words, what the Gemara understands is that if I start an action, and there are different segments or different sections to the action, then once I start the action, and that action is necessary to achieve my ultimate goal, then we view that as one long action, so to speak. I'm just don't take me literally, but it's like one long action as far as Kim Levin Ramine is concerned. So what's the difference, if there is any difference, between Rabbi Ovin's Akira Litzorech Hanocha and Rav Chisda's Hagbah Litzorech Achilah? Again, could he have eaten it without doing the Hagbah? Could he have possibly achieved the Hanocha without the Akira? I mean, we're going to have to analyze that. But right now, the Gemara is not making any distinctions. The Gemara is being very naive about it, so to speak, and very simplistic. And the Gemara thinks that if it's Litzorech, let's say, for example, let's talk about Litzorech from a, I call it a phenomenological perspective, meaning in terms of the conscious mind, what does he intend to do at the end of his Akbar? Where is Akbar leading him to? He's not interested in Akbar. Akbar is, you know, that would be good if he was flexing, you know, he was getting exercise. That's not what he's interested in. He's interested in picking it up and putting it into his mouth. So Rav Chisda made the point, well, he picked it to his mouth at time T1, and only 5 seconds later he put it into his mouth, or only 5 seconds later he swallowed it. And therefore there's no Kim Lev the Ramine, it's not considered Vasachas, it's not the Idna. So the Gemara asked, but why did he pick it up? Let's look at it from a motivational point of view. What was his ultimate goal in picking it up? In eating it, correct? He doesn't have his hands tied behind his back and he's leaning over and licking it up from the table. He's lifting it up and putting it into his mouth. So if that be the case, his ultimate purpose is to eat it, then I can define Hagbah as Litzarech Achila. If I define Hagbah as Litzarech Achila, then it becomes like Akira Litzarech Hanocha, and in both cases, we should apply the principle of Kim Leib Nirabmine based on the statement of Rabbi Ovin. So the Gemara now is going to try to differentiate between Rabbi Ovin's Litzarech and the case of Rav Chisda of Hagbah Litzarech Achila. And the Gemara is going to offer two different answers. And one of the things that we want to see today is the Ra'ah. The Ra'ah is one of the Rishonim who's quoted extensively on Ksubis in the Shita Mekubetzes. And to try to figure out the difference between the two approaches. So let's call it Roman numerals number one and number two. Hachi Hashta, the Gemara says. Hasam, in the case of Zrikas Teitzi, Efshal Hanocha below Akira. There's no possibility of a Hanocha without an Akira. Right? In order to get it to land, you have to first pick it up and put it into flight, send it into flight. But Hacha, here in the case of Achila, it's possible to completely circumvent the Hagbah. How can you do so? Efshal Achila b'lo Hagbah, di boy gachin v'achil. He can bend himself and pick it up and eat it with his mouth. He doesn't have to lift it up. Again, it's more convenient if he lifts it up, and it's more aesthetically pleasing, but it's not necessary. So now the Gemara is saying that Litzorech means that we take the end zone and we work l'mafreya backwards and we ask ourselves the question, was the first action absolutely necessary in order to achieve his ultimate goal? And here the Gemara distinguishes between Akira Litzarech Hanocha on the one hand and Hagbah Litzarech Achila. In the case of Hagbah Litzarech Achila, it might be, as we say, the most convenient and the smoothest way of doing it, but it's not necessary. You can't say that the Hagbah was necessary. It could have been Gachin V'Achil. But in the case of Hanoch, the Gemara says, it's impossible to achieve Hanoch without Akira. Again, there's going to be a lot of discussion here in the Achronim. Is that really true? Are there ways of getting to Hanoch without an Akira? For example, what happens if he picks it up and then he takes a break and he starts walking again? Maybe this Akira is not Litzarech Hanocha because it's not a case of E-Efshar. We need a case of E-Efshar. So again, how do we define Litzarech according to Roman numeral number one? It's got to be Litzarech because if it's E-Efshar below, E-Efshar below means it's impossible without that. So the first stage is an absolute prerequisite to arrive at the final destination, and therefore it's considered Litzorech. But if you could arrive at the final destination without stage number one, there was another way of getting there, right? Instead of taking you off on the plane, you could have parachuted or something like that, parachuted out of the plane. So that's considered Shalom Litzorech, meaning it's Efshar below Zeh. That's Roman numeral number one. Then we get to Roman numeral number two. Inami, the Gemara offers a second answer. Hasam, in the case of Zorik Chetz of Rabbi Ovin, Iboy Ladure Lomotzi Mahadule. Once he sends the arrow in flight, he can no longer retrieve the arrow. It's irreversible. And that's considered Litzorech. In other words, what we're going to define the entire process as Bavas Achas, if the beginning of the process forces the end of the process. But Hacha, okay, he lifted up the Chelev, and his intention was to eat it, but Matzil Adelaide could change his mind and decide to put the Chelev back and not eat it. So according to the second interpretation, which we call number two, Litzorech means you've already started a process in motion that is irreversible. It's, you know, you can't bring it back. And that's the distinction between Zorek, where the arrow's in flight. So therefore we view your action of Hotzav, or in this case not really Hotzav, we'll call it Mavir, Dalanam, Shusarab, it's in motion. You know, it's you've already embarked upon. In other words, we view the relationship between Akira and Anocha as such a connect, you know, there's such a profound connection between the Akira and Anocha that once you did the Akira, you can't pull back anymore. But in the case of Hagbah, we can't connect the Hagbah to the Achila because even after the Hagbah, he might decide that he's not going to change his mind, not going to eat it. So the Gemara asks, "Ma'ika bein ha'ilishna la'ha'ilishna? What's the difference between these two approaches? Ika bein nayu?" The Gemara says, "What about a case where he's not throwing the knife or the arrow, but rather he's carrying it? And as he's carrying it in his hand, from the beginning of Dalet Amos Mishnah to the end of Dalet Amos Shiraim, he rips Shiraim on his way. And if you're going to talk about Akira Litzorach Hanocha from the perspective of the Akira ending up in Hanocha, here's a case which is similar to Hagbah, where we said in the second interpretation that he might change his mind. Here also he could change his mind because he's not putting the arrow into flight. So therefore, the Gemara says lahai lishna di amri efshal anoch ba'akira chinami efshal ba'anoch ba'akira, meaning you cannot have a anoch without an akira. And that's going to apply not only the case of zorek, but even to the case of what, of mavir. But lahach lishna, according to the second lishna, that what we view the akira as litzorch anoch, because the akira sets into motion a process that's irreversible. But here in this case that he's holding it with a knife and he's carrying it through Rishus Arab, he can change his mind, and that's not considered Litzorah. Now, having said that, we go back to our sugya on Daf Lamed Amid Beis, and basically what we want to do today is try to compare the two sugyas. The Gemara says that if you want to set up a case of be'idna, which means that when he steals something and then he eats it, both chiyuvim, the tashlume gzela and the chiyuv for chelev or for truma, are simultaneous, then you have to talk about tochav lo chavero l'toch beis habliya. So we can completely cut out the hagbah because his friend was the one who did the hagbah, and put the chelev into his beis habliya. And on that, the Gemara says, "But hechidami, what's the case? Imatzi la dure nehader." In other words, what the Gemara is saying is that there's still a split here, a two stage process. There's no simultaneity here. Why? Because as far as tashlumen is concerned, there's a T1, there's a moment in time where he hasn't yet swallowed it, but yet he's placed it in such a way that it's efshar la dure. What does it mean? He takes it from, you know, he crosses the threshold. On one side of the threshold, it's matzi la dure, and that's where his friend put it. But then he crosses the threshold and he gets to the point of lo matzi la dure.
He means the ochel.
Right, the ochel. He begins to swallow it. He hasn't yet swallowed it, but he begins to swallow it. So the Gemara claims that in such a case, there's no be'idna. Why is there no be'idna? Because the chiyuv misa, or the chiyuv kares, is not going to be incurred until he actually does a full-fledged blia, and it goes down his esophagus. Again, we're going to have to get into the issue about whether you're chayev for what's called anos me'ayim or anos grono. But let's assume even anos grono requires that it begins to go down the esophagus. It hasn't yet reached the bottom, you know, in the stomach. It's not in his me'ayim. But in any event, there's a two-stage process. And the process of crossing the threshold between matzi laduri and lo matzi laduri, that gulp that he took, is... it predates the chiyuv miso, chiyuv kares for blia, because it's not yet a blia. It's only the beginning of a blia. And then the Gemara is going to go on and say, well, if it's lo matzi laduri, then b'chlali shouldn't be chayv because he's anus and he didn't do anything. It was already down his throat. And we'll have a lot to talk about it as far as that's concerned, whether he's anus if he commissioned someone to put it down his throat. So now we're going to have the following problem. How do we square the Gemara on Daf Lamed Aleph with this Gemara on Daf Lamed Amid Beis? The Gemara on Daf Lamed Aleph establishes, in the name of Rabbi Ovin, that there's a concept in Kimlei Miramine called Litzorech, that when you begin an action, and eventually that action will reach its culmination, then any other chiyuvim that you incur during that period of time would be subject to the law of Kibbleh v'Rabbeinu. And basically the Gemara assumes that Rabbi Yovan is correct, and we have to figure out how Rav Chisda can be reconciled with Rabbi Yovan. And basically Rav Chisda is also going to accept the principle of Litzorach. Oh. So now, what happens here? The man, again, I'm not going to give him shishi for this, but he's interested in eating chalev. Or he's interested in, he's a zar, in eating truma. So that's his interest. At what point are we going to apply kibbleh d'rabbeinu? Are we going to wait until the point that he's chayav, which means after he finishes his blia? Or are we going to apply the principle of litzorech, and we're going to extend the scope of kibbleh d'rabbeinu to apply whenever it's litzorech, whenever you have that first action that will culminate in his chiyuv? So we don't need the moment of chiyuv. That's what we thought on daf lamed amid beis, but on daf lamed aleph, we come to the conclusion that we don't need the exact moment of his chiyuv. We need the moment of the action that is litzorech his chiyuv. Therefore, when his friend, we'll call him Shimon, puts the chalev into his beis habliya, now at this point, two things have to happen. What are the two things that have to happen? Both are accomplished by Reuven. Number one, you have to cross the threshold to what? To lo matzi ladure. Number two, you need a bliya. As far as the chiyuv of chalev or truma is concerned, we need the what? We need the bliya. But how does he get to that point? He needs the first step of gulping it down in such a way that he can no longer regurgitate it. And that's the moment in which he's called a ganav or a mazik. Again, we're going to have a long discussion about that too. Rashi seems to call him a mazik. And he incurs the chiyuv mamon. Well, you might say that the chiyuv mamon, as the Gemara seems to assume here, on daf lamed amud beis, occurs before the chiyuv misa. But on the other hand, let's apply the principle of litzorech. If we apply the principle of litzorech, like in the case of zrika, where we said that the zrika begins with akira, even though the chiyuv is, again, when I say the zrika begins with akira, I don't mean in Hilchos Shabbos. That's true also in Hilchos Shabbos. But what I mean more is as far as kibbleh d'rabbeinu. Why do I leave out Hilchos Shabbos and Melechus Otzah here? Because again, I'm comparing it to Hagbah in Achilas Chelef, right? The Gemara wants to say that even Hagbah would be the beginning of Achila, right? Would be as far as what? And in Hilchos Chelef, you open up the Rambam in Hilchos Chelef, you won't find that Hagbah is the beginning of Achila. But what you do find is that within Kibbleh d'rabbeinu, we have a new definition of Tchilas Avera, and that's called Litzar, right? So the Gemara says, well, wait a minute, Hagbah is not really Litzar, he could have bent down and eat it off the ground. Or the Gemara says it's not called Litzorach because it's not irreversible. That's a double negative, right? It's reversible. He can retract it. He can decide that he's not going to eat it. So there's no tziruf here. There's no way of conjoining the Hagbah with the Achila, because even though in this case the Hagbah did in fact culminate with Achila, but it didn't have to. And it wasn't EFSHA. We need an absolute infection. But here, I think you have to admit that no matter what your definition of Litzorach is, it's going to apply to that first gulp that brings him to the state of lo matzi ladure, because at that point he's on his way to achila. In fact, it's impossible for him not to eat it, so that the gulping is absolutely necessary to bring about the ultimate result of achila and the chiyuv chalev. So the miman of shach. Let's go through again the two answers of the Gemara. Roman numeral number one, Roman numeral number two. The Gemara says that akir litzor chanocha generates kibbleh d'rabbeinu or activates kibbleh d'rabbeinu because of one of two reasons. The first answer to the Gemara is because there's such a principle called the Efshar, right? How are you going to get to the point of Hanacha unless you first initiate an Akira? Well, if you take that, how are you going to get to the point of gulping it down and swallowing it until you gulp it down, if you follow what I mean? Right? And it's a voluntary action in which he takes the chalev and he brings it forward, right, towards his esophagus. He hasn't yet swallowed it, but he's already moved it forward. So that's the efshal adure. Well, that's the beginning of a process that's absolutely necessary in order to achieve the ultimate goal. I don't see how he could do it otherwise. Now let's go with the second answer. If we go with the second answer, it's already irreversible. Certainly this is irreversible. Just like once you shoot the arrow, you can't get it back. So too here, once you gulp it down, you can no longer cough it up. How do you know you can't cough it up? Because the Gemara says, So this is going to be the kasha of the of the Imre Moshe based on the Ra'ah. Okay, we'll see the Ra'ah inside. Is everybody with me? It's just again, we haven't ironed out all the details, but Bigadol, are you following me? What we're trying to do now is reconcile two sugyas that are actually contiguous to the Gemara. One sugya in the sugya Be'idna claims that there's a two-stage process and it's not an absolute sync between the Chiyuv Mamon, which is at the moment of Yefshal Adure, and the Chiyuv Misa, which is after Belia. Hence, we don't apply Kibbeh Rai. Then we have another sugya, which is Mamash, the next sugya. It's not like, you know, I'm quoting a sugya from a different Masechta. And that sugya introduces Rabbi Yovan's principle of Litzorech, that with regard to Kibbeh Ramine, we can start the process whenever he does something which is necessary to achieve his ultimate goal. The Chiyuv is not yet incurred, because in case of Blechas Havar, you need what? Hanocha. So he's not yet ready for the Hanocha, and yet he's already Chayef for Shirayim. So you and I would have said, well, that's not Be'idna. And the answer is no, says Rabbi Yohanan, that's considered Be'idna. Why? Because of the Litzarech. The Litzarech allows me to expand my definition of the Chiyuv, you know, of the Avera. Again, the Chiyuv remains the, dependent upon the Hanocha. I mean, no one could question that. Without Hanocha, you're not chayef for Melechus Hotzah in any shape or form. But we can include the Akira here as far as the preemptive, you know, it's the preliminary stage in achieving the Chiyuv. The Chiyuv is achieved with what? With Hanocha. But we need the Akira Litzarech Hanocha. No, why not say the following, that we need the Tchilas Blia, if I can call it that, in order to achieve the Sof Blia. I'll give you an example. Let's say, again, this is not aesthetically very pleasant, but let's say, you know, we spoke very often about bia, right? That there's Tchilas bia and there's Sof bia. What happens if at the point of Tchilas bia he would rip someone's shirayim? And he's not chayev until he does a Sof bila. Well, that's not generally true, but I'm just in the theoretical sense. So then I would apply the principle of Litzorech. You can't get to Sof Bia without Tchilas Bia. I mean, how would you do it? You know, and maybe there is a way. I don't know. I couldn't figure that out. But it seems to me that you have to go through Tchilas Bia in order to get to Sof Bia. So in such a case, we would expand the Chiyuv as far as Kibbeh Ramine to the Tchilas Bia because it's Litzorech. Here also, there's a Tchilas Blia. What do I mean by Tchilas Blia? He's got to gulp it down. And then he's going to swallow it, right? He's going to push it down his esophagus. But, you know, you got to go through stage one to get to stage two.
Yeah, but when you talk about that...
Yeah, go ahead. I don't know, Yosef, you want to say something, and Alan, you want to say something? So you can fight it out.
I'm going
to
be very quick, so...
Yeah.
When you're going through the stages to get to Sof Bliya, you're going to pass whatever the point is in the esophagus that occurs.
Right.
You're going to pass a point when you now are a shear of the yisur of chela, and before that time you only have a chatzi shear.
I don't know. I'm not sure. Let's hold on with chatzi shear. Just if I can, you know.
I was just wondering: is there any other outcome that's possible? If you say that there's a different outcome possible, then how can you apply the tzorach?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. When you say another outcome, can you give me an example of what you have in mind?
Yeah, the outcome is that he swallows it. That it's,
but I'm saying, is there another possibility?
That's the question. If there's another possibility,
yeah, right.
Then it's Litzorech.
Right.
Then we see it as
so I don't know of another possibility. In other words, again, I'm not a biologist, but I would assume that once he gets to the point of Lo Motzi Ladure, it's going to go down his esophagus. So I don't know if there's another possibility.
Because
again, he can't regurgitate it. That's you follow me? The whole point is that he can't regurgitate it.
Yeah.
He's like eating matzah, kizayis matzah, but bliach. So he starts his bliach, and he gets to the point of Yefshal Adure, and then he swallows it, and he gets to the point of what? Of the mitzvah of matzah, let's say, if you hold Hanos Meyayim.
Can I ask you a more fundamental question? Isn't the Gemara on Lamed Beis just old Rav Chisda? Rav Chisda is about to the bar Rabbi Yavin. He doesn't hold from that.
No, that's the Gemara's workings over time to try to reconcile the two. Right, the Gemara says Lema to Lo. What is it? What's the language? Right, Lema means Ahava, right? Where's the word Lema? There it is, Lema. Lema, Pliga the Rabbi Yavin says no. The Gemara says that I can reconcile Rabbi Yavin with Rav Chisda, Rav Chisda with Rabbi Yavin. In one of two ways. In other words, Rabbi Chisda is not a case of Litzorach. Rabbi Chisda would agree that it had been a case of Litzorach. You would apply Kim Lev the Rabbi. All right. So now, Rabbi Osei, if you have a page, let me just see what page number it is. Just one second. Your page, Kuf Lamed Tes. If you happen to have it. Now on Kuf Lamed Tes, he's got two different subjects that he analyzes. One is the issue that I mentioned before, whether or not the Ochel, we call them Ruvain, whether he's Chayav Midin Gzela, whether he's Chayav Midin Mazik. That's Kuf Chav Ches on the same page. Right. In other words, we're looking at a page that's called Kuf Lamites, but on the right side of the page, we're looking at Os Kuf Chavches. And this is all based on a diuk in Rashi. Let's go back to Rashi on Daf Lamed Amid Beis. And Rashi says, Iboile La Dure, which is about two-thirds down the page, Rashi says, V'chilo Ahadre is Me'ahi Shaita Iu Mazikle. Now, if you take Rashi literally, and there's going to be a whole bunch of Achronim who want to be very literal about this Rashi, Rashi says that we're no longer talking about Gzela here. Again, you can talk about the Tochev, and that's going to be the Shitas HaTosus here, that the Tochev is the Gazlan, but at the same time, when you steal something, you're Chayv for Onsim, but if somebody else comes along when the object is still intact and he destroys the object, then that's called Ratzon Mizegov and Ratzon Mizegov. They're both of them alive. That's going to be the Shitas HaTosfos. And we spent a lot of time yesterday trying to figure out Rashi's sheet, because Rashi seems to assume that the first guy, we'll call him Shimon, he's not Chayiv at all in this case. And he's not a Gazlan. We tried to work out why he's not a Gazlan. But as far as Reuven is concerned, who swallows the chelev, he's not a gazlan. He's chayev mishum mazik. That's one way of reading Rashi. Again, if you're very literal about Rashi. And then we're going to see the Ritva. The Ritva reinterprets Rashi, and mazik is lav dafka, and he's chayev mishum gzela. Okay. So if you take a look here in the Mishkanos Aroim, he says, Nechleku hachronim, Bekavonoso, and it's regarding Rashi.
Which major you
on? So again, I'll say it for the third time. We're on Kuf Lamed Tes, and we're in Os Kuf Chav Ches, and we're on the second line. Nechleku Achron. Okay, what's the intention of Rashi here? Number one, the first possibility is Kavonoso Shachiv Mitam Mazik Velo Mitam Gazal. So now we're taking Rashi literally, and that's going to be one school of thought. Then we get to O, right? You may want to underline the word O. That's the way I like to do it. O, lav dafka noket mazik, but really the chiyuv zvitam gazlan, that's the way the Ritva seems to interpret Rashi. And not only that, the Ritva sort of rewrites the text of Rashi, if you want to have a different girsa in Rashi. He says, kevin delo ahadre, nasal of gazlan li alter. And then the Gemara is asking, well, he's not chayav misa for eating truma, until he actually swallows it. Ad diochale. Okay, so there's a gazlan, and then there's a mazik. I'm sorry, a gazlan, and then there's a chiyuv misa v'dei shemayim for zoros. So now we're going to quote the Shita Mekubetzes. He tells you exactly where to find it. So maybe Yechiel, you want to look it up. He tells us on page Kuf Mem Aleph. I don't know, there may be different printings of the Shita Mekubetzes. Not sure. Yeah, I think there is. There's a new printing of the Shita Mekubetzes. I don't think I have it, but Yeah, they really improved on the sheet. There are a lot of mistakes in the sheet of Mugubetzes. You know, printing mistakes, I mean. Okay. So the sheet of Mugubetzes actually appears on Daf Lamed Aleph in the sugya that we just learned now, the sugya of what I call Litzorech, which is Rabbi Ovin. And the Shita says the following. There's a kash of Tosfos, and this you'll find in Tosfos Dibra Maschil De'i Boi. Okay, De'i Boi. Okay, Gochin Velochish. Not Gochin Velochish, sorry. Gochin Velochil. Right. Okay, Pirsh Mekuntris. Yeah, it's like about 15 lines up. How many toasts? There are a lot of toasts on this page. So if you count 1, 2, 3, 4, the fifth toast is from the bottom, if there's such a thing. Pirsh Mekuntris. Okay, fine, that we don't have to know that. Oh, so he says, Kasha Lari. Mashai Hagba Bedovishu Tofes Biyodo O Bepiv. So basically, Tosfos is of the opinion against Rashi that when you have something in your mouth, that's already yours. In other words, that's called a kinyan. And you don't need Hagbah for that. So that's his question on Rashi. Again, we're leaving out some of the nitty-gritty details because we really want to get to the Shita Mekubetzes. So again, how can you talk about a kinyan agbah if it's already in his mouth? If it's already in his mouth, then he's koneh because if it's in its mouth. V'li nireh, this is the Shita Mekubet says, divrei Rashi zal ikar, he wants to defend Rashi. Dohavare ein der knia b'peh. Again, this might touch on exactly what a kinyan chatzar is all about, whether your mouth is considered a chatzar or not. But here's the point that we want to get to. He says the following. V'hodak shina li el imotzi la dure nehadar. So again, the object, in this case the trumo, or the chelev, is already in his mouth. It's already in his mouth. And the Gemara says nehadar. Right, nahadir. So what does that mean? Does that mean that he's chayv mishum gzela? Why? Because he maintains, you know, he's grabbing on to the, you know, to the chalev in his mouth, and that itself is a kinyan gzela. And therefore the kinyan gzela predates the chiyuv for bliya for achilas chalev. Is Kvartirtza Rashi Zal. Again, Rashi holds that putting something in your mouth is not a kinyan, right? He calls it ain't there a kni of a pet. So Rashi says, Lav mi din knia parchinen. Knia means gzela, kinyani gzela. The Gemara was not asking that he's already chayav to pay for the chelev even before he swallows it based on gzela. Because he has it in his mouth, and if he keeps it in his mouth and he's grabbing onto it, he's not letting anyone take it out of his mouth, he himself is not regurgitating it, that itself means that he has a kinyan bepeh. That's not what Rashi means. Rashi went out of his way to avoid this. Elami did mazik hu dasinela, de bepiv memais, that once he holds onto it in his mouth, it becomes mos. Nobody wants to eat such a thing. So if at that point he doesn't regurgitate it, then it's not edible. And if it's not edible, is lahachi chayav midin mazik. So again, Rashi is meticulous and deliberate in choosing the word mazik because Rashi l'shitoso holds, and that we're going to see on Daf Lamed Aleph, that bepeh is not a kinyan. Because ein derech knia bepeh. Oh, but now we have a problem. What's the problem? The afal gav de amrinon, the Gemara says, kevan de la say kanya. So the Gemara says that when he chews it up, that's considered a kinyan, apparently midin gzela, Now, why is there a kinyan inside his mouth? I mean, that's not a chatzer. And again, he didn't pick it up. It was placed into his mouth. So once again, the Shita Megubetz is going to apply the same rule, and he's going to say that when the Gemara says Kanya, it doesn't mean midin gzela, don't take it literally, but it means midin mazik. Once he chews it up, it's inedible. Nobody would want to eat such a thing. Right? I don't want to eat it. You're chewed up food. You know, thank you for chewing it up for me, but I guess a mother and a baby is a little different, right? Because sometimes, you know, the mother will chew up the food before she gives it to the baby, but that's okay. Oh. Now, he wants to make a difference between chelev and truma. You know, we've been combining together in this whole sugya truma and chelev b'miksha achas. But now he wants to make a chilek between truma and chelev. And he says the following: Dafka l'gabi truma amrinan hachi de hachazi l'kohen l'achila ubepume ma'isle v'lochazi l'achila. He wants to say the following: that in the case of Truma, we're going to say the following, that once he puts it in his mouth, or he puts it in a place where he can't regurgitate, or he chews it up, in all these cases, it's going to be memayisle.
But wait, so that's not what he actually explained. He explained to Rashi, he thought that it's memayis, and is when you could, and you choose not to allow
it. Right, choose not to allow it. Even before he takes a goal.
It's hard to understand how the mi'is part of this food is determined by my machshav.
Right.
It's either mi'is.
Right. Okay, good point. But wait a second. You know, Yechiel, let me ask you to ask me this question as soon as I know where we're going with this. Just let me get oriented. So he says the following: Lagavi Truma, when the Gemara asks the question, well, you know, he's chewing it up, and therefore he's mazik it. He says, that makes sense. Legabi truma. Why is he a mazik? Because once he makes this truma into... Just one second. Dafka, give me one second, if you don't mind. I'm sorry, I apologize. Dafka abi truma hadam rinachi da'achazi l'kam l'chiu b'fume ma'is b'fume ma'is v'lochazi. Oh, excellent. Okay, now I think I have. Sorry, I just needed one mathematical calculation. Truma is mutter ba'achila, correct? For the Kohen. That's what we got. Not only that, he has gets a mitzvah. Okay, so that's that makes the mazik into a mazik. Why? Because the owner of the truma, namely the Kohen, could have eaten the truma, and now it becomes mos. Then we understand why the Gemara applies the principle of mazik to this case where Shimon is holding on to the food or the truma and he's chewing it up. Aval hocha b'shmaitita d'mayri b'chelev. Chelev is considered lo chazi l'achila. And the Shita Megubetzis wants to say the following: that what is the value of chelev? It's for hana. Let's say, for example, he could use it as fuel for his to fry an egg. Correct? It's an oil. It's like an oily substance, right? That's what chelev is for. Maybe he could use it also as a salve on his maka, whatever it is. Oh, so in that case, where chelev was never chazi l'achila to begin with, it was only chazi l'hana. So then we could ask the following question. All right, he chewed it up. All right, he swallows it in a way that he can't regurgitate it, or whatever the case may be. But nevertheless, even if nobody would eat the chelev, that's not what we're talking about. The subject of tashlume gzela is not because you made it impossible for me to eat, it's so disgusting and repulsive, I can't eat it, but rather I can't have any hanah from it. Says the Shita Megubetzis, that in the case of hanah, despite the fact that he chewed it up, despite the fact that he salivated on it, it nevertheless is royal hanah. Let's say he can feed it to his dog, or he can use it as an oil, as you know, to fuel his fire. Therefore, ilo kanya bagba umachayev alei b'tashlum and shuv ein kachiv klami din mazik. He wants to make the following distinction: that when does it make sense to talk about mazik? because he chewed it up or whatever it is. That's only with regard to truma. Why? He's a mazik because he took something that was roi lachilu, it was omei lachilu, and now it's no longer omei lachilu because it's repulsive. But in the case of chelev, which wasn't omei lachilu, and that's not what the Bailam did, where the value of the chelev is in terms of hana, then it still remains roi hana even after he chews it up. The ilo kanyev agbah, therefore, in the case of chelev, the only way that you can possibly bill the ochel in tashlume mamon would only be b'toras gazlan. It means because he made a kinyan on it. But if you're going to say that peh is not considered a kinyan, so what's your other fallback, your other alternative, to say he has to pay tashlume mazik? Well, there's no tashlume mazik here because it's still royal hanah. And la noch aziliola. Okay, we're going to finish up the Shita Mekubetzes. He says, "Ve'ilo kanyev agba u'machayev Allah b'tashlumin." In other words, if the agba itself is not enough to generate a chiyuv tashlumin b'toras kinyan igzela, shuv ein kan chiyuv klal midin mazik. Is then lo matzinon la suya Allah? Did I skip something? I'm sorry.
You left out the dalad.
Dimi din mazik lo matzinon la suya Allah. Thank you so much. Is then kishenene hare misa v'tashlumin bo'en ke'echad. Right, the Gemara is trying to say that there's no be'idna over here. Well, there is a be'idna. Why is there a be'idna? Because I don't have to pay you as a mazik in the case of chelev, because it's still royal hanah. What you could bill me for is what he calls hana. Hana, he says, depends upon when the chelev goes down his belly. You know, as he identifies hana with hana's me'ayin. Well, at that moment, he incurs a chiyuv misa for eating chelev, a chiyuv kares. Hilka chasi shaper hada karma talmuda hacha di iboy gachin vi achil di alma I ovid hachi ein kan chiyuv klal. So we have to work very hard in the last two lines because that's where he connects the two sugyas together. But let's just establish one thing. The Shita Mekubetzes is giving us an opening here for a distinction between truma and chelev. And in the case of truma, we can understand very well why the Gemara assumes that there's a two-stage process here. There's stage number one, which is the moment that he chews it, right? And there's stage number two, the moment that he swallows it. So in terms of truma, you could say that the moment that he chews it up, that's called a mazik. He's already chayav for tashlumin. Why? Because it's disgusting, it's repulsive, it's no longer royal achila. He's not going to be chayav for achila's truma until he swallows it, and that's the Gemara's point. However, in the case of chelev, here we're going to have to draw the conclusion that there is kimleib derabine, meaning that it is be'idna. Why? Because mimonafshach. If we're going to say that he's chayev mishum gzela, well, there was no agbah. There was no agbah because it was tachav lo chaver tov piv. And we're holding now, like Rashi Shita, that piv is ein darko liknos bepiv. So he can't be chayv midin gzela. But when will he be chayv tashlumin? So you might say at the point of le'isa. That's not true either, because chelev is isure achila, and therefore was never royal achila to begin with. But chelev is mutar b'hana, and I'm not considered a mazik as long as it's still hana'a a bill, if you follow me. Oh, but then he swallows it, and at the point at which he swallows it, he's chayav tashlume hana. It's a whole different type of tashlume. Do you remember we discussed this in passing yesterday on page Kuflamid Zion, I believe it was, where we mentioned the case of a yoresh, right? A yoresh who doesn't realize that the paro was sheula, and he eats it, so he has to pay. He has to pay for the hana that he had by offering his family steak from a stolen cow. And that's called hana. So the moment that the chelev goes down his esophagus into his belly, at that moment he incurs two chiyuvim simultaneously. Number one, a chiyuv hana because he benefits from the chelev. His belly is full from the chelev. And a chiyuv of achilas chelev, which is a chiyuv kares. Hence, according to Rabbi Nachum ben Akana, we would apply the principle of Kimlei ben Rabbeinu. So far, so good. Okay, that's the part that I do understand. Now let's get down to the last two lines. Okay. Now, Rashi says that he's chayav mishum mazik, correct? So let's say, for example, in the case of Truma, when he chews it up, he is now making it inedible, and therefore he's a mazik, correct? Because Truma is chazil achila. Okay. Now let's apply the principle of litzorech. And again, it should be kimlei d'rabbeinu. It should be be'in. Oh, the hilchah asi shapir hodakam etalmud hacha. The Gemara is going to say the iboy gachin v'achil. So what does that mean? That litzorech is only in a case where there's no way of avoiding it. It's absolutely necessary. On the alma i'ovid hachi ein kan chiyuva klal. So how would that help us? If you go with this, and what was the second? The second was lo boy la dure. Ah. So now let me try to see if I'm correct here. The next two paragraphs will bear me out or the opposite, right? When are we going to apply kimlei d'rabbeinu? Let's talk about truma. It depends. If we're going to say that the first stage in the process is avoidable, then we cannot apply litzorech, right? We cannot apply litzorech. So what we're going to say now, we're going to say that it's so here maybe you have to distinguish between le'isa and, just one second, is he talking about le'isa? Let me just see. Not sure if he's talking about le'isa. Let's just see. So again, if we go with the first lishna in the Gemara of Iboy Gachin, which means that we only apply the principle of litzorech when it's absolutely unavoidable, meaning it's absolutely necessary. Whereas hakbaz is not considered what? Necessary, because he boy gachin. So now let's take a look at this case of tchilas blia in the case of truma. So we're going to say that this is not iboy gachin, right? And then we should apply the principle of tzorach, unless he's referring to le'isa. If we go with the second pshat, that what? That when is he considered litzorech? That's only what?
Reversible.
That's only if it's irreversible once he started the process. Once he started the process, he cannot reverse it, right? Like the case of the chetz. So here we should apply, should we apply the principle of litzorech? He started the process. So let's say le'isa. I'm not sure if he's... See, I don't know if he's talking about le'isa. Let's hold off for just one moment. We'll see if he's talking about le'isa. Yesh la'ayim was it. E name of the achiv mishum mazik. Al-kein, or al-korchach maybe, al-korch dechiv zechal, rak al-yidei bli'oso. Le'mokum de lo'motzi la'dure. The aim l'chayv o mishum mazik, el b'shosh maziko, kolz man shum b'mokum shumotzi la'dure adayin, Akati eno ha'ochel mufsad. So if he's talking about truma or he's talking about chelev, that's why I don't know. Let's go through this. If he's talking about truma, what does he mean? Kol zman shehu b'makom d'motzi la'durei. But he made it already repulsive. Let's talk about chelev for a minute. Maybe he's talking about chelev. So in the case of chelev, we said that he can still benefit from the chelev, right? So as long as b'mokom b'motzi la'duri, he can still cough it up and he can benefit from the chelev, then it's not considered destroyed and there's no mazik. Oh, so when does it become mazik? In the case of chelev, which means that he can't have any benefit from it at all, is bishoshan is kind of shibolo of esula matzila dure hareu chayev misa mishum achilas truma. Oh, he's talking about truma. Just 1 second. I thought he was talking about chelev. If he's talking about truma, calls matzim b'makom de matzila dure. Zakati eina ochel mufsa. I'm not exactly sure what he means.
It's still edible. What he said?
Wash it off.
But before he made a whole description here that it's mos. No, let's go back. Yeah. He says the bepiv mos velochazi lebailim, and since it's royal achila, that itself is a mazik. So I don't know why he insists here that only when he gets to the point of lo motzi ladure, then he becomes a mazik. But if it's mokum de motzi ladure, he says akati ein ochel mufsar. I don't know what he means. It's before he said it was most bepiv. I don't know. Ubishosha mazik heinik shabolo. Only that point when he crosses the threshold that we spoke about for sula motzi ladure harei uchayev misa. At that point, v'shapin kimle mamayk parach bisugyan. Why is Gemara assume that it's not be'idna? L'chore it's be'idna. L'chore al korchot achiv mitam gazlan. It's not a chiv mazik, because if it's a chiv mazik, then we have be'idna, because the mazik is only when it becomes inaccessible, because it's still considered eina ochel mufsar. The efshal loma, the afagav, the efshal ischayev misa b'li maisa b'liya, Mikomakom lo miftar mishum kimle naida dain lo hischil hachiv misa befal biblia. Deikar isur banos meo banos grono. I don't know what he means by anos grono here, but anyway, mea mokom de lo motzi la dure. So he verakta. So he says, rak de a maisa amachayev misa ablia, but he's only chayev for the Avera and the Chiv Misa here, when it goes down his belly. Vakati tzorch iun, to the kamon mosvinan arav chizda, maya ganav chelbo, shal chaver v'yochel chayev, neima agbol tzorch achila. Why don't we apply the principle of l'tzorech? And the Gemara gives two answers. Either iboy gochim, so it's not considered l'tzorech because he could have avoided it, inami, because it's only lagbo when he cannot reverse the process. Ubir hara'ah. I'm hoping that after we see the ra'ah, things will fit into place. The ika bein hanu tre lishni. What's the nafkamina between the two lishonos? The lishna kama rak bagbo amrinon de lav tzorach achila. The efshal achila below agbo. Forget, now we have intravenous feeding, but okay, they didn't have intravenous, so you have to put it into your mouth in order to eat it. Is Shaper Amrinon, that from the moment of Achnosa Bepeh, that's Ascholas Achiyuv, as far as Kimlev the Ramine, and therefore he's going to be part of Tashlumen. Sheyev Shal Achilu below Achnosa Bepeh. So if we go with the first Lishna, then we should apply Kimlev the Ramine from the moment that it enters into his mouth. And that's going to be a problem, because the Gemara says this is not be'idna. So what happened to the Litzorah? Avol Lishna Basra, this is the Chiddush of the Ra'ah, Ditoli be'i boil aduri, it all depends on when boli adure, so even though it's in his mouth, he can still spit it out. Is lo choshiv his chaschol eschiv misa, el b'shas b'liya, only at the point in which he can no longer spit it out. Al b'zman shemunach b'piv, that's not considered aschol asachiyuv. So it comes out that according to the Ra'ah, if I understand correctly, our sugya is predicated on the second lishna, on what we call Roman numeral number 2. Why? Because even after it reaches his mouth, nevertheless, he can spit it out. He can spit it out. So then there's no be'idna over here because you don't have litzorech. But if you go with the first lishna, this is called litzorech because you can't swallow it without first putting it in your mouth. V'ahadeparech b'sugyani motzilat durinila nehader, and there's no kimle v'ramine that he's chayv already at the moment of making it into lo motzilat dure. Yeah, but he's not chayev misa until he swallows it. That can only work out according to Lishna Basra. Our Lishna Kama, we have a principle of what? Litzorech. Is then we're going to apply kibbutz rabbani from the moment he went into his mouth, because that's considered the askola of the chiyuv. Again, he's not chayev yet, but he efshal achiyuv below achnos lepeh. It's not like the case of hagbah, where we said he could circumvent hagbah by bending over and eating it. Vahashta koshet tuva di'i name of the achiyuv v'bishu mazik. If we're going to assume that school of thought that Rashi means he's chayev for mazik, the chiyuv is a chal b'shasa b'liya l'makom d'lo matzila dure. So he starts with that gulp and he's already a mazik. Why? Because it's a hefsek to the bialim. He's then arei gam l'lishna basra choshiv shasa scholas chiyuv misa, because at that point it's already what? It's already lo matzila dure. It's like the case of the chetz. So it comes out that we can't. Just 1 second. So again, the Gemara is going according to... We said the Gemara can't work out according to Lishna Kama, because how does he get it down his throat unless it goes into his mouth? And therefore it's mamish like the case of the arrow. So the Gemara can only make sense if you're going with what? With the Lishna Basra. But now we're saying you can't even work out with the Lishna Basra, because Rashi's saying he's chayv midin mazik. Again, in the case of Truma, I understand, because he's not, you know, until he swallows it to the point to which Lomotzi Landure, he will not be Chayv Mishum Mazik, because if it was Chaylev, it would be Mutter, it's Mutter Bano, right? Chaylev is Mutter Bano.
It's still usable.
So therefore, it's still usable, right? He could still benefit from it. So if we're going to assume now that what? That we're talking about chilev, then he only becomes a mazik the moment he swallows it, because that's the moment in which it's no longer hana'able, if you pardon, that he can't benefit from it. Oh, so at that point he's chayv mishum mazik, because what? Because he gulps it in a way that he can no longer regurgitate it. That makes him into a mazik. Well, at that moment of time he is doing something litzorech achila. And it's irreversible, because he can't regurgitate. So what do we gain by quoting the Lishna Basra? If the Gemara is trying to say that there's no Kimlev in Rav Minei here, well, I have news for you. It's going to be Kimlev in Rav Minei Mimonavshah. Whether you take the first Lishna, because you cannot swallow something until you first put it into your mouth, or even if you take the second Lishna, it's an irreversible process. He shot the arrow, and here too, he swallowed it in a way that he can no longer regurgitate it. It's exactly like shooting the arrow. There's no way that he can retract his statement, his action. We're really in a bind here, because if we take Rashi literally that there's no chiyuv gzela in the case of the ochel, then all you're left with is a chiyuv mazik. Well, the chiyuv mazik is going to coincide with the moment that he makes it irretrievable. Why? Because he took it from across the threshold, and now it's lo matzi ladure, and then that's when he clinches the chiyuv mazik.
Well, what is Rashi talking about? He's talking about chiyuv, or he's talking about chiyuv?
Let's assume, for our purposes, we're talking about chiyuv, right? So chiyuv is only chayav mishum mazik.
Yeah, because there's two possibilities. Because if he's talking about truma,
right?
If he's talking about truma, since truma can only be used for truma, can't be used
for achila.
Right, so then
he's a mazik.
Lisa is not a hezek.
Oh, I thought Lisa was a hezek because it makes it repulsive.
No, because there's no other thing you can use it for anyway, so it doesn't matter. The person himself would have to be loisit in order to eat the truma. But if you're talking
about, why can't someone else, why can't the kohen chew it up? I don't understand. Or swallow it or whatever.
Yeah, but that's the point. The point is, whoever's going to chew it up is going to chew it up, and therefore it's not a davar mos, because it's part of the final setup, part of the whole process of eating the truma. But by chalev, since chalev can be used for something else, then Lisa is mos, because he doesn't have to use it for something that for which Lisa is not spelled.
But again, are you going with the Shizim Gubetz, or are you saying
Rashi's talking about.
But again, the Shizim Gubetz says that when Rashi says it's a mazik, he says that there are two stages, and whether or not you're talking about truma or chelev, you're going to be able to determine when he becomes a masik. Wait, just, let's go slowly. Okay. So he says the following, that when he puts it into his mouth, that's considered mos, it's lochazi lebailim, and he's chayev midin masik. So he says the following, that applies to truma, because truma is chazi lekon lachila. Ubefume mamoisle velo chazi lachila. Correct? So once he puts his mouth, he salivates or he chews it, whatever he does with it, it's no longer edible. But if we're going to talk about chelev, then he doesn't become a mazik until it goes down to the point of lo motzi laduri, which means it's no longer accessible to the owner of the chelev. He can't benefit from it any way. The fact that he takes it into his mouth, that doesn't exclude that doesn't cause any financial loss to the owner of the chelev, because he can use the chelev in many different ways. He's not allowed to use it for achila, but he can use it in other ways. Right? The value of chelev is because I make it. If I destroy a chelev, it's because you can no longer use the chelev as this, as that, as the other thing. When does that point of no return where you can no longer use it? That's when he sets it up as low motzilat dure. Correct? Now, let's fast forward for a minute to our discussion in the Ra'ah. The Ra'ah is saying the following, that when the Gemara asks the question here on Daf Lamed Amid Beis, that there's no Be'idna because he's already Chayav, if we take Rashi's Pshat that he's Chayav as a Mazik, well, guess what? At that moment that he's Chayav for a Mazik, he's also Chayav, so to speak, again in Hilchus Kimlein Ramine, for Achilas Truma. Why is he chayav for Zoros? Because it's already Litzorech. Says the Ra'ah, that depends upon two Lashonos. If you're going to go with the Lashon let's go through the two Lashonos again. If it's impossible, otherwise it's unavoidable, it's absolutely necessary, right, as opposed to Akbar, then what we're going to say here is that it's not absolutely necessary. But if we're going to go with the second Lishna, that there's a broader definition of Litzorech, and that includes any situation where it's not reversible, well, in this case it is reversible because he can spit it out. So let me go through this one more time. Again, I just want to get the mathematics of the Ra'ah. The Ra'ah is saying the following, that our Gemara will make sense according to the Lishna Basra. According to Lishna Kama, we certainly have a Litzorech. We qualify as Litzorech. Why? Because the only way he can eat it is by first putting it into his mouth. So once he puts it to his mouth, he's already involved in the Chiyuv Misa. Correct? Because what's the whole point of Litzorech? That we anticipate retroactively what's going to happen at the end of the day and he's going to incur a Chiyuv Misa. That creates an entire long process which is all included under Kim Leber the Rabbim. Here, you can't tell me that, well, like Akbar, he can avoid Akbar by bending, but here, he can't avoid putting it to his mouth. Now, if that be the case, we're not going to be able to square our Gemara on Daf Lamed Amid Beis with the Lishna Kama. That's not tragic, says the Ra'ah, as long as we can square the Gemara on Lamed Amid Beis with the Lishna Basra on Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Aleph. Namely, that it only becomes Litzorech if it's irretractable. But here it's retractable. Why? Because he put it to his mouth, he can easily spit it out of his mouth. Now we're asking the following question. Well, guess what? If we're going to say that the moment he puts it into his mouth, he's a mazik, and Rashi says that even in his mouth, although there's no kinyan exhale, but he's a mazik, well, at that point, so let's talk about truma. I'm sorry. Let's talk about chelev. Again, I don't know about truma, because truma is complicated. But in the case of chelev, at what point does he become a mazik? Rabbo said, at what point does he become a mazik? Only lo motzi ladur, correct? Lo motzi ladur. That certainly, even according to the Lishna Basra, comes under Litzorech. Why? Because that, by definition, that's irretractable. So we're left with nothing, if you follow what I mean. He says, Vashta kosha tuva. The name of the chiyuv mishum mazik, if we can accept Rashi that the chiyuv is mishum mazik, v'chiyuv zeh chal. Again, I would submit that this is true for chelev. I don't know about truma, but anyway, chelev chal v'shas b'liya, What does that mean, v'shas b'liya? L'malkum de lo matzi l'adura. That's already l'tzarech. Gamal lishna basra, that's also considered l'tzarech. Why? Because lo matzi l'adura. That's exactly equivalent to the case of the chayes. Wow. That's pretty impressive. That's as far as I got here. Now, if you'll fast forward for a moment to page Kuf Mem Gimel, so we're going to analyze the Rambam in terms of the Chiyuv Misa. Okay, now let's understand what's going on over here. If I were to ask you in one word, what's the word I'm looking for? Why you chayav misa? In the case of zar, in the case of chaylev, what's the one word I need? Achila, correct? Achila. Now let's focus on achila. Is achila an active state or a passive state? Or let me ask you a general question. Now forget about achila. In all Yisurei Torah, right? Ritzicha, right? Or Gneva, whatever your favorite Easter is it active or passive?
It's active,
correct? So let's assume, again, those who were with me yesterday, you're already much smarter than my assumption, but let's assume that Achila is no different than any other Easter. It's just one example of a classic Avera. So we require an action. Well, let's now think about our sugya. Because we have Tochav Lo Bebeis Abliya, correct? Tochav Lo Bebeis Abliya. So what happens over here? Just think, if it's Matzila Dure. Oh. So Rashi says the following. Rashi says that if it's Lo Matzila Dure, he's an Anus. What could he have done? I mean, it's Lo Matzila Dure. Right? Shimon shoves it down his throat. Well, what choice does he have? So Rashi calls him an onus.
That's true.
Just one second. So Tosis and Tosa Rashi even more attack Rashi. They say, if that's the Gemara's problem, how can he be chayev for Achilas Truma? I have a simple solution. He's not an onus. He commissioned Shimon to put it down his throat. So the answer to that is going to be, well, he's still considered patur, but for a different reason entirely. Not because he's an anus, but because he didn't do a ma'aseh achila. Are you with me so far? This is before we get to the Rambam, right? And the Rambam is going to invoke a sugya called chalom v'arayas, that achila is different than any other avera in the Torah. And achila doesn't require ma'aseh. You can be chayef for achila without a maisa. So I tell you to shove it down my throat, and I'm going to be chayef. Why am I going to be chayef? I'm not an onus, that's for sure. I told you to put it down my throat. And not only that, I have hana because I enjoy the benefit of the chaylev or the truma in my belly. Now, if I can postulate, based on the Rambam, which we have to see the Rambam inside, that in a case where you have hana from the achila, even if there's no maisa, you're chayav because of shekein benet. Then, in our sugya, we have a serious problem, which is being raised here by the Tosus and the Tosus of Rosh. Namely, that how can Rashi say he's an onus? Let's assume he commissioned the guy. No, the Gemara could have given that case. The Gemara's looking for a case of be'idna. So and we're going to say he's chayav misa, and that's going to knock off the tashlumen. So you're asking for eichet timsa? I'll give you a simple eichet timsa. Shimon was tochav lo betoch beis abliya, but what? He was commissioned by Reuven. Reuven told him to do it. If Rashi's problem is onus, the Gemara has a simple solution to this problem. And the Gemara doesn't need to do somersaults in the air with matzila duri yadet chak. Forget about yadet chak, which is dochak, pardon the pun. And I still don't understand the sugi about matzila duri yadet chak. I'm hoping that by tomorrow I'll have some shot in that sugi. But why does Gemara need that? The answer is, the Gemara doesn't need it. The Gemara could have come up with a simple case of what? Of a commission. If he commissioned him, there's no onus. Unless we say the following, that you know what? Even if he commissioned it, he would still not be chayav for a different reason. Not because of dine onus, because onus rachman apache, because of dine maisa, that there's no maisa achila, right? Because he shoved it down his throat. So there's no Mais Achila. The guy's totally passive.
You don't have to even come to that. Why don't you say Divrei Harav? He would never be chayiv anyways.
What do you mean, Divrei Harav? We're not talking about shlichus. See, I'm not talking about shlichus. I'm talking about onus. If I tell you to put something down my throat, you can't call me an onus. You know, the fact that my belly is full with truma, Rashi can't call that an onus. Rashi's saying the only problem, the only technical reason why the ochel is not chayav is because he is an onus. So the older Rishonim pounce on Rashi and say, what do you mean he's an onus? What about the case where he told him to do it? You can't call him an onus.
But he's also not chayav.
Oh, so why wouldn't he be chayav? So there's only one answer to that question. He's not chayav because there's no maisa. Ain't shlich l'varver. He didn't do a maisa, correct? Where's the maisa achila?
Achila, don't need a maisa.
Oh, now we have an issue. And that is that how can you tell me that he's going to be chayav? The answer is because we're talking about Macholos Asuros, right? And in Macholos Asuros, we have a special category, a special exception to the rule, and that's Chelev Shekeinene, right? That if he has Hanoah, again, we're not talking about Isuri Hanoah now, because Chelev is not also about Hanoah, but we're talking about Isuri Achila, and we're saying that if he has Hanoah from that Achila, even though there's no Bais Achila, he's going to be Chayev. If he does a Bishogeg and it's a Chelev, he's going to have to bring a Karmel Chatos. And that's what the Rambam codifies in Perek Yudal Vilchus Macholos Asuras. Ha'ochel machol mimacholos asuras derech schok okimis asik. Now again, we're going to lay down the following premise. Again, you can question this premise. That misasik means there's no Maisa Achila. Is afal pishalon is kavim l'gufa Achila hoel v'nene chayel.
But it sounds like he didn't have any.
Interesting. Maybe that sugya is based on this halacha of chicken nana. Again, I don't know what kind of matzah you eat. I mean, I wouldn't say that the matzah I eat is so pleasurable. But anyway, let's assume it fills up your belly, right? That's what the mitzvah gave us, right? We want to fill up the belly. So maybe that's why he's yelled to the mitzvah of matzah. You'll ask me, but mitzvah suchas kavon, and the answer is mitzvah zayin suchas kavon. But you'll ask me, where's the maisa achil? The answer is, I don't need a maisa achil. All I need is hanah. That could be a gevaldik of pshat.
Why do you say that kafu parsim, you didn't eat it under duress, as opposed to shoving it down his throat? Maybe it means that he ate it. They just forced it to
right. come through his right. But, new vista opens up now. Maybe the Gemara is saying that even if they force him to eat it, in a physical sense, he still might be yotzei the matzah, the mitzvah matzah. Why shekeinen? So then we have to understand, when the Gemara says, chalom v'arayas is chayav shekeinen, what about a mitzvah? Does that principle apply in the flip side, that I can be yotzei the mitzvah because of shekeinen? But that could be an interesting shot in the Gemara, that if you say Shekeinene is good for mitzvahs as well, then even if he shoves it down my throat, as long as I'm nene from it, that could itself be a key of my mitzvah. But let's get back to our sugya for just a moment. So what happens in our sugya? In our sugya, what are we saying? That he needs a Maisa Achila, correct? And the reason why Rashi, the solution that we're offering in the Gemara, which is a kash on Rashi, that he commissioned him to put it down his throat, that wouldn't be operative. He would still be potter for a different reason. Not because he's an anus, but because he doesn't have an achila. So that all the Rishonim, whether it's Tosa Rush, who stand up and they argue against Rashi, they assume that if he commissioned someone to put it down his throat, he was totally passive, nevertheless, he'd be chayav. And that's why they have an objection against Rashi, because the Gemara says that there's no possibility of his being chayav over here because it was onus. Well, I have a case where it's not onus and he should be chayav. Is muchach, he says, that isuri achila v'isuri arayis lo dami l'shar isurim dahasam. In all other isurim, we're going to say that what? The isur is the maisa. But bechalov and varayis ha'anah hi ha'isur. Here he has two versions, two formulations, two possible formulations. He has one formulation that says that the isur, the hana itself is the isur is the hana. And then he has another formulation that the hana itself makes it into a maisa. And that's based on a sugim bava kam about a woman in Gilead Arias, that she's chayav because it's considered an nefashah, so also simply because she gets the benefit from the mice, and she was a full-fledged consulting person. So again, either you call it hanahia iser, or you call it a mice achila because of the hanah. And these rishonim apparently maintain that he should be chayav in this case. Again, there's no p'tur of onus because he told the guy to put it down his throat. There's no maisa avera, and we don't need a maisa avera. Well, we have a maisa avera. Why? Because of that, no. Now, here he quotes the Kesef Mishnah. The Kesef Mishnah is fascinating unto itself. This is independent of our sugya. We have two principles in Achila, and the question is, what's the relationship between the two? One principle is Shekein Nene. The other principle is Eino Miskaven. What does it mean, Eino Miskaven? So let's say he's walking down a street and there's a monastery and they're burning incense. Right? What's that called in the Lashon HaShas? Incense? Not Ketores. What's it called? The Gemara in Beitza there about Tanola Shavu Chol Nefesh. What's it called? They used to do in the old days, and the incense would go into the...
Mugmar.
Excellent. Mugmar. That was the word I needed. It's good. Yosef, I owe you one. I needed that Mugmar. So in any event, so he's now smelling the Mugmar, right? So the Gemara is going to establish that if he's not miskaven, he's just walking by, and the pleasant aroma of the Mugmar goes into his nostrils, then there's no problem with that. There's no problem with that. So we have two sugyas here in the Suri Anah that seem to produce or generate two different principles. There's one principle that's going to say, well, he had the Anah from it, and in the Macholas HaSuris, if he had the Anah, then that itself makes it also. The other sugya says it depends on whether you had kavana or not. And the Kesef Mishnah claims that the Rambam tries to address this paradox by formulating a resha and a seifa. Let's see, the resha of the Rambam is the case where he was lo niskaven and yet he's chayav because he had the hanah. And then the Rambam continues in the very same breath, and he says, meaning he's walking down the street and the smell just overwhelms him. Then the Rambam says, the Isur Mikola Isurim, it doesn't matter what Isur we're talking about, it all depends on Kavana or Lomas Kavana. So wait a second, the Rambam just established that even without a Maisa Achila, because he was Misasek, nevertheless he's Chayav in what you call it, in Chalom and Arayas, because of Shekein Nene. Well, what about this case where the Rambam addresses in the very same breath, in the Sefer, the same Halacha, where he's walking down the street, and the Rambam says it depends whether he has Kavana or not. So the Kesef Mishnah says there's no Stira here. Hadin Rishon, the first Sugya, which is derived from a Gemara in Kiddushin, and the Gemara establishes that Misasik B'chalov Marayis is Chayav Shekein Nene. That's one Sugya. Then the Rambam codifies another sugya in Psochim, and the Gemara says there in Psochim that Ano Abolo Leona Bal Korcho, it depends whether he's Miskavin or not Miskavin. And the Rambam baskins like the Lishna Basu and Rava and Psochim Chofeim in days, that it all depends on whether he's Miskavin or low Miskavin. So if he went down this road and he's going to smell the Avodah Zorah, then did he have Kavana to smell the Avodah Zorah? Is he just trying to get from point A to point B, and he passes through the monastery there, and they're burning the Mugmar, the incense, and it overwhelms him? So if you're with me, you might want to underline five lines up before the end of the top paragraph on the left column, Ve'hecha d'yenu miskavin shari, says the Kesef Mishnah. So at this point, the Kesef Mishnah thinks that he had two roads, the two roads diverged in the yellow, where he didn't have to go down this path.
Right.
And he deliberately chose to go down this path. Fine, no problem. Even though he knows very well that that's where they're burning the incense for the idols. And the reason why it's mutim is because it's eino miskavin. So everything depends on kavana. He's not denying that this hanah. He's saying that even when since he wasn't miskaven, he didn't have any intention to have the anah. The anah was reality. Then he's chayav.
We called anah a maisa.
Oh, so maybe he's saying that it's a maisa. Well, let's think about it. If you want to say that anah miskaven and call it Torah kula, but before we get to chalom of arayis, so before we get to isuri anah, we're going to tell you that anah miskaven is not considered your maisa. Right, like let's say, for example, Gorik he's in Vesafsel. So he's making charitzim, but that's not my maisa. That happened mimeila. It happened automatically because I wasn't miskaven to make charitzim. I just want to transport the bench from here to there. So if the definition of einam miskaven means it's mafkir the maisa, then let's ask the following question: in the case of chalom v'arayos, where we don't need a maisa, all we need is hanah. So in the case where he had hanah b'einam miskaven. He walked down this pathway, but he didn't have kavanah to smell it. You know, he didn't, you know, take in the smell.
Even though he did it b'mezid, knowing that it was a secretion.
Well, again, what do you mean by amazed? If you mean by amazed that he chose that path, then yeah. You're right, he's amazed. But if you're talking about the hanah, I wouldn't call him amazed. He's ain't a miskaven.
Yeah.
You know, if he had his choice, he wouldn't have this hanah. But it was in the air, so to speak. You know, he's breathing the air and he gets the hanah because the air is very aromatic or whatever the word is, right? So then in such a case, the Kesef Mishnah says in the Rambam that since he didn't have kavanah, he's mutter. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. In mutter, he says. Right? Shari, he used the word. Ain't a miskaven is shari. So I'm wondering here, and that's going to be the sort of thing you go to, I think, of the next paragraph. I'm hoping he'll bail me out on this. That what's the difference here between the case of Misasek, where the Rambam says he's chayv shekein nene, and the case of ain't a miskaven, where despite the fact that he's nene, is mutter. How do you reconcile those two? Well,
maybe one's bad, one's not bad. I mean, there's something physical by the food, but not so much by the smell.
Well, again, I don't know. The Rambam says b'kola isurim. You know, we gave the example of avodah zarah. And the Rambam doesn't mention the avodah zarah. So I don't know. Let me read the Rambam to you. The Rambam says that hanah shebalo balkarcho, which again balkarcho means in the case of Mishnah at least. Maybe we'll come up with a different shot. I'm hoping we will. Means enem iskamin. Says the Rambam, the Isur Mikola Isurim, as opposed to what he said in the Reisha that we're only talking about Chalom and Arayis, here we wanted that's an umbrella all inclusive. And the Rambam says, Imlon is Kalim Mutra. But what about the Hanah? And the Rambam says explicitly, Mikola Isurim. V'od, he says, the Kesef Mishnah goes on to say that Afal Pisha Rashi Pirisham, this is Rashi Mesatu Psochim, the Mayri Bisuri Anok Gon Reach Shal Ktores, Mikomako, oh, this is your point, is Mikomako Mea Rama Mashman, the Mayri Bikola Isurin. Good. V'tzorchi in Godel, Machiluk Yeshbe Mesasek Bechalovim Varayas, Lebein Nene Below Miskavim. In Chalom V'arayis, the Rambam says that he has the Hanah, and that's the Isur. Let's go with the first definition, that the Gufa Isur is the Hanah. We identify the Isur Hanah as the Hanah that he gets. And therefore, even though he's Misasek, you can't consider it his Maisa. He's Chai. So we're going to say that in this case of Misasek, it's called Hanah Habalo Me'elov. What does he mean by Me'elov? Without a Maisa. Okay? Oh, if that be the case, then what are you going to do with the Rambam of Lo Miskaven? The Yesod Ahet in the Dover Shein of Miskaven, Hu Mishum, this sounds like Reb Shimon Shkop, let's see if I'm right. What is that, a Dalet? Oh, he tells you to look in, if somebody has a moment to look back in, that we don't have that volume. This is Perek Shlishi. Okay, anyway, this sounds to me like Rav Shimon Shkol. I think we discussed this in the past. Rav Shimon has a yisod that Einu Miskavim means it's not my maisa. It's like Nasa Me'elov, right? But we just finished saying that Nasa Me'elov, in a case of Yisuri Anoh, if he has the Anoh, he's Chayev. V'zelo Shayach Be'isur Achilo, to say that he's an Einu Miskavim and therefore the maisa is Nasa Me'elov, you can't say that because Kavolas Anoh is the Isur. So you can't tell me it's as if it happened. You know, it's a tree fell in the middle of the forest and no one was there to hear. So I'm also, I'm going to put my head down for a minute and see, because I don't want to cheat over here. I just want to. Just 1 second. Oh, I think I have something. Let me see. Is it there? Skog o kimis asik. So Rav Moshe, let me just start the ball rolling and we'll see if I'm on the right path. I would say the following, that the ratio of the Rambam of Chalom v'arayas chayv shekei nene, that's talking about a case where he made a decision to without any, just 1 second, let me just say it a little better than that. In the Rambam, Meshikei Nene, we're talking about a case. He calls it Deres Choko Misasik. What does he mean by that? That he's involved in getting the Hanoh. Oh, let me say it this way. That in the Reisha of the Rambam, he's taking the Hanoh. What do I mean he's taking the Hanoh? I don't mean with a Maisa, because again, in the Rambam's frame of reference, he's a Misasik, so you can't call it a Maisa. But nevertheless, he's taking the Hanoh, as opposed to the Sefer, where he's not taking the Hanoh. What is he doing in the Sefer? He's trying to get from place A to place B, as a side product, so to speak, as a tofat levi, if you feel with that phrase. He gets the Hanoh, but he's not involved in an action which can be considered seeking out the Hanoh. Why? Because the Hanoh comes from the outside. He's involved in an action of getting from one place to the other. And Mimela, when he passes by, he gets the Hanoh. So the Hanoh is being imposed upon him, but it's not part of his endeavor, it's not part of his action. In such a case, the Rambam says, since he doesn't have Kavana, therefore it's Mutter. Oh, but in the Reisha, when do we apply the principle of Misasek, is Chayav Shekei Nene? That's in a case where he's involved in the action, and let's say he's not, he's taking something of Hanoh into his body, but he didn't do it deliberately, right? He didn't do it deliberately for the sake of the Hanoh. See, I don't know exactly what Derech Schok means. We said yesterday that what? It fell into his mouth or something like that?
Yeah. You're juggling. And
yeah. Let's just think about it one more time. What does the Rambam mean? Kimis Asik, meaning that what? That let's say he's unaware of the fact that it's chelev. Is that misasik? Let's just figure it out. We had a lot of discussions here about what misasik is. So let's say he's not aware of the fact that it is chelev. Would that be enough to make him into a misasik? Not sure what Derech Schok means exactly, but somehow he's not aware of the achilo. He's not aware of the achilo, so he's not. That should really be the case of Einu Miskavim. I don't know. Derech Schok means he's involved in one action and he gets Hanoh. That would be lo Miskavim. That's the safe of the Rambam. But Misasek means he's not aware of the fact that it's chelev. So again, he's eating something, but he's not aware of the fact that it's macholas asuras. Now, Rabosai, if you take a look at the next paragraph, which I believe that I want to pick up tomorrow. Yeah, v'nira del Rambam svir de'esh chiluk bein din hanoa bol yolam bal koch lebein shar dover she'eno miskavin. And he's going to tell you that an eno miskavin means that I'm involved in something and I want to do it, but I'm not necessarily interested in a certain result of that action, in a certain oftu, in a certain accomplishment. That's called Einu Miskavim. And here the Rambam is going to say that we have a new din of Einu Miskaven. This new din of Einu Miskaven means that he's involved in one thing and something comes from the outside. And that's called Hanoah Bolo Leonim Bal Korch. That's not a classic Einu Miskaven. That's going to be the case of Reach HaKtores, where once he goes down there, he's overwhelmed by the smell. So Rav Olse, do you have page Kuf Mem Dalid?
Yes.
And what about Kuf Mem Hay?
No.
Okay, so if somebody has the time, I'm not imposing this on anyone, but if we have any volunteers for Kuf Mem Hay, Kuf Mem Vav, those are the pages that we want to cover tomorrow. Okay then? So I wish everyone a great day. Thank you very much. Is there mincha? I just want to know if there's mincha, because if I don't get this mincha, my whole day is going to be
now we'll make one.
The door is broken?
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah, but it's able to see it.
Oh, Usher was able to do this. You see, you need a powerful guy like Usher. He's got golden hands, Usher.
I mean, I don't understand. They're holding it to say that if you told the person to stuff the food down your mouth, that you're chayiv for it, because you told him to shove it down your mouth.
Well, I'm not saying you're chayiv. I'm just saying that he's not an honest. Now we have to ask if he's chayiv, and then we get into chalov marat. So we have to ask ourselves, if he wants the hanoah and he's seeking out the hanoah, he's just using someone else as his facilitator, then even though you didn't do a maisa hanoah or a maisa achila for that matter, he might be chayiv because she came nene.
And
that would be the way that the achronim are going to learn these objectors to Rashi, meaning the Tosa Rosh, who object to Rashi, they feel like they have a very easy case where he'd be chayiv, and hence there would be kimle in the Rami name. And that's the case where he commissioned someone to shove the chalev down his throat. And since he does so, he's not an onus. And not only that, he has hanoah, and he wants to have hanoah, and he seeks out the hanoah. That's enough to be
chayiv. I understand. That's assuming that the food getting to your throat is not part of the maisa. But if you
we're assuming that the hanoah itself makes it into a maisa.
Yeah.
That was the flaw, if you remember that. For example, a woman is a karka ola, but yet the Torah calls her an osa hamaisa. Why? So the answer is that she's seeking out hanoah, even if she does it passively, like karka ola, is considered like she's in the maisa.
But that's because the hanoah is in the maisa itself. That's the way you explain that later on also. Same thing about the incense or whatever it is. But here the whole maisa starts with getting it into your throat and then swallowing it in your throat. If it didn't get into your throat with your maisa, you never did a maisa. You never did a full maisa that require belia.
And it's not enough to say that Hanoah makes it into a maisa, like the case of Gilead Arias, where she's karkolim, and yet we say that the Hanoah itself makes it into a maisa.
Yeah, but that they're talking about a different thing. They're saying that Hanoah makes it into a maisa because the Hanoah is the Hanoah that comes from that maisa.
But wait a second, Alan. Again, you might be arguing with all these Rishonim, but first let's understand the Rishonim. Rishonim is saying that there was a simple solution to the Chiv Misa here. And that would be when he commissioned someone to put it down his throat.
Yeah, what I'm saying is that when he
So those Rishonim, again, unless you have another interpretation, those Rishonim are certainly
that's
assuming
why I said different
that Hanoah makes you into the Osa Maisa. Now, again, if you want to argue with Rishonim, that's fine.
No,
I'm not ready for that.
It's not the same thing. When they're saying Hanoah makes it the Maisa, because the whole Maisa is there. But what I'm saying is that he never did a whole maisa; he only did a half a maisa.
But again, the Rishonim is saying that he's chayiv. I just want to know, Alan. You know, whenever you speak to me, I have to screw my head on right.
That's right.
So I want to know: are you coming to support the Rishonim or argue with the Rishonim?
No, I'm coming to argue with the Rishonim.
Oh, okay.
Because
now I have it. You know,
no, it's because this is. This